I was telling somebody before church, it's not the preacher, but it's the subject matter that matters. And we have some good subject matter as Christians. And his name is Jesus. Woo! I'm sorry. I'm going to try and contain myself. But whenever I meditate and I think upon that name, there's a stirring from within. And when we were singing those songs today, I couldn't help but close my eyes and think about all the things that the Lord has done for me from a young man. I wasn't the best guy growing up. Tough kid from Philadelphia. Got into all kinds of trouble. But I was miserable. And I was searching. And I was hungry. But oh, that day when the Lord came to me in the midst of my storm. And I tell you what, when I think about those times right now, I got more than a hallelujah. I got more than a hallelujah. When I meditate upon the name of the Lord, oh, there's a well within. You know, sometimes I feel like a soda bottle. You know, you shake them up a little bit, and you better not take that cap off. You might want to ease that rascal off, because you know what happens. And that's what the name of Jesus does for me. And Lord willing, it will continue to do for me until the day that I'm finally meet him face to face. That's what it's all about, is Jesus. Sometimes we plan our lives and we're so caught up with the things of the world and the things we have to do. We're tired. We're this. We're that. But when it all boils down, that main seed is the name of Jesus that matters. And how much of that name that we have within and how much of that name that we have without. And so what I'm going to be talking about today is, oh, the sweet name of Jesus. And when we get a hold of that name, it doesn't matter what's going on in our life. When we meditate upon that powerful name, those five little letters, J-E-S-U-S. Can everybody just say that name all in unity? Let's just lift it up. And everybody in unity, let's just say Jesus, right? I'll count to three. One, two, three. Jesus! Woo! I tell you what, you do that more often in your lives and the things of this world. What's that song? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of the world, they grow strangely dim, don't they? In the light of his fullness, how's it go? In grace, something like that. Anyway, let's get started. We've got to start off with the scripture, if you don't mind. 2 Timothy 3:16. And 17, I like to start with this because it gives us free license to search the scriptures. Can we all read this together? First word is all. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, truly I'm getting ready to say the King James Version. I'm sorry. Truly furnished unto all good works. This is a different version. They don't have the King James. But what does that tell us? That means just some scripture is given, right? It means all scripture is given. From Genesis to Revelation, all 66 books in the Bible are given by God's breath. And it is profitable. And this makes a cross for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, and I'm going to say my version, may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Hebrews 4, please, 11 through 13. Is this it? Oh, yeah, here we go. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing or division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden in his sight, But all things are made manifest, correct? The point I want to get to right here is, what does this scripture tell us? It tells us we're a body, we're a soul, and we're a spirit, and then we're a heart. Can you put the slide up there that shows that, the round one? There it is. As you can see by this, this shows our different realms. It shows our body realm, which is the thing typically we're more concerned with, aren't we? It's like when we start feeling sick, we're like, oh, I got to go to the doctor. When we're hungry, you know, oh, man, I got to feed my body. But I'm here to tell you there's more to us. We're very complex creatures, and God created us this way. He created us a body, the thing we see. He created us in the invisible realm, our soul and our spirit. And then if you go to the very core of our being, where our will is, that's the very nature of who we are. Our whole being became corrupted in the Garden of Eden. When we partook of the tree in the Garden of Eden and we allowed Lucifer and his thoughts to enter in, it didn't just defile our body. It defiled our body, soul, and our spirit, and then our will became corrupted. And God's plan for us in this life is to have his name at the very core of our being. His name has to be pushed down through all this nonsense. Through the trials and tribulations of life, God wants to write his name, he said, in our foreheads, right? Which speaks of our body, but also in our heart, it says. Well, how do we do that? How do we get the Lord's name within? A lot of times, nowadays, it's cold, hard choice. We have to make a cold, hard choice. You know, when we were first saved, God led us along. Come on, Johnny, you can do it. Come on, you can go to your prayer. You can go to church. You can do the right thing. He wooed us with his love and his spirit. You see what I'm saying? But then I'm here to tell you, the more that we go on for God, he expects us to do things. You know, if your kid became 40 years old and he came over, Dad, will you carry me? You'd say, wait a minute, you're 40 years old. I carried you when you were young. I expect you to walk now. I expect you to have the strength and the energy to get up and walk, even though you don't feel like walking. I expect you to do it. So this is what God wants. We're in a place of cold, hard choice. So let's go to, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Please, I'm getting somewhere. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. So here's another scripture that shows that we are a body, soul, and spirit, that there are inner workings, invisible, that only God sees. And he wants us to sanctify, okay, and allow God's name. That's what sanctifies us, is the name, his nature. Can you put up slide one? The slide one? Oh. Thank you. I appreciate everything she did back there. We had to really navigate through this. Okay, let's go to this first. I marveled when the pastor went to this last week, because this is what's been on my mind, the tabernacle. And you know, the tabernacle, since all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for the man of God, that means everything in Exodus, including the tabernacle, are profitable for the man of God, that we may be perfect, truly furnished unto all his good works. And so I encourage you to go to Exodus around the 20th chapter and start placing these pieces of furniture where God tells Moses to place the pieces of furniture. And it makes the form of a cross. There's no doubt whatsoever. So that tells me right there that God, nothing takes God by surprise. He has this whole thing mapped out and planned. Let me tell you. Everybody in this room, you're here for a purpose. Everybody here, God has a calling upon your life. God has a calling of perfection and overcoming that he has placed upon you. He has provided everything that we need. The blood, the fire, the water, His word, His spirit, His name. We have a full arsenal, a full armory behind us. There's no excuse why we should be wimpy Christians, allowing our flesh, the world, and the devil to push us around. Because God has equipped us, and He did it a long time ago. He said to the Son, we're going to create, and this creation is going to fall. But that's okay. This is all part of my master plan. And Son, you're going to have to lay down your life for this creation. It says that He was in the world, and the world knew Him not. He created the world, and the world esteemed Him not. Christ took on the form of humility when He walked upon this earth. Why did He do it? Because of the Father's master plan. And everyone in this room is a part of the Father's master plan. He has equipped us. And now, the way things are going in this world, we can be so caught up with the news. We can be caught up with the cares of this world. You know, so many different things can get between us and the face of God. But you know what that is? That's idolatry. Whenever we let something get between us and the face of God, that becomes an idol. That thing's got to get out of the way, because you're not seeing truth. So the thing to do when you start feeling bombarded by the things of the world, I tell you, you just stand back. And you don't have to say it out loud. You say it within. And just start meditating upon the sweet name of Jesus. Jesus. And you start meditating on what He's done for you, where He's brought you from. You start speaking the truth. You start testifying of who He is, not who we are, but who He is. And I guarantee that those idols will no longer be between you and God. I know. I've been there and continue to be there. Getting into the prayer closet. We call it a closet. I couldn't pray in a closet because I'm crazy. I got to get up. I got to move around. I'll fall asleep in a closet. You know? We go into our prayer, and we should have a personal prayer place. This is a picture. Oh, the tabernacle. The third. Can you go back to the third one, you know, the one with the Jesus on it. Yes. This is a picture of our prayer. Right here. What was it in the Old Testament? They had to offer animal sacrifices, right? But outside, between the laver, and you see the commandments, the precepts, and the statutes, there was a curtain. You had to perform the ceremony in the courtyard area before you could enter into the holy place. So service had to be done in the courtyard area. What does the Bible say? How do we enter into His gates? With thanksgiving. We enter His courts with praise. You know, sometimes we go into our prayer and we're so like overwhelmed with our flesh or whatever we've done or the errors that we made. We go in and we pray, oh, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Boy, I really blew it today, man. Oh, can't believe I did that. Oh, I hate myself. And then you know what? Our flesh chimes in. Our flesh comes, yeah, man, you really blew it, man. And then before you know it, the devil's there. Woo. Wow, yeah, you might as well just give up, man. You might as well just give it up. Then he's got you singing songs, you know. You're like, I got friends in low places. Think I'll head on down to the oasis. And all of a sudden you go down that road. Forgive me for that song. Just popped in my head. And he's right. I'm your friend as long as you're in the low place. I'm right here with you. But what does God want to do? No matter what happened, no matter what's going on in your life, we have a name. And that name is Jesus. And we need to get up off of our ground, get up, stand up, like the pastor was talking about. That blessed me. Every time I hear him preach, there's one little thing that sticks with me. And it was when, remember he was talking about this? I felt like Igor, yes, master, yes. You know, that's what God calls us when we're all bent over. And we say, yes, master. He says, stand up, get up, praise my name, worship me. I don't care what's going on. I had a master plan a long time ago that was equipped. I was ready for all this. I want you to put me in my rightful place of praise and worship. Do you hear what I'm saying? Does anybody get what I'm saying? This is powerful. This is a key to go on for God. You know, if we understood 10% of what God is doing in our lives, we would do backflips. We would stand on our head. When we go, you know, the Bible says that God goes to prepare a place for us. You know, God knows how to prepare a place, let me tell you. You know what I mean? Whenever we go over to somebody's house and they make it all nice, that's nothing compared to what God has in store for us. And if we had one glimpse of what God has in store for us, oh, let me tell you, we couldn't shout loud enough. We couldn't praise long enough. We couldn't dance enough. We couldn't do backflips high enough. He's worthy. I'll say that again. He's worthy of all of our praise. And just forgive me, but I tell you what, I just feel something in my spirit. You know, this world, I don't know what's going on. I'm kind of old. 61. And I'll get with my lesson in a minute, but I just feel this. I'm 61 years old, okay? So you don't look. Thank you. 61 years old. I was born in 1962. The world has changed so much in my life. The way people worship, the way people, treat the Lord, there's been a steady decline. I remember when I was a kid and I was hungry for the Lord, God, you know, he had a plan for our life. Every one of us, we could write a book about the way God brought us, and it'd be a very interesting book. Well, my sister started, you know, showing some signs of life and started going to this church group. And I was a troubled kid. I was, you know, doing all kinds of bad stuff. And she invited me. And this was a Baptist. And I'm not saying anything bad about Baptists. I love Baptists. But I'm just telling you the difference. I walked in that place, and they were getting with it. And I was like, wow, these people really have something. And you know what it did? It attracted me. I said, look, what? I got to have this. Whatever this is whatever I'm looking for. The joy and the excitement of having Jesus Christ redeem us, of having a relationship with Jesus Christ, the joy and the excitement that was in that place. And you know what? It stuck with me. I was brought up Catholic. You know, we didn't do much, and I'm not saying, I appreciate that, because that gave me a good background. That gave me an awareness for Jesus Christ and that I needed redemption. Don't get me wrong. I'm not ridiculing, but I'm talking about the joy and the excitement that can be found when we have that name within. I tell you what, there's power in that name. J-E-S-U-S. I think about David against Goliath. And here's David up against this formidable foe. And what did David do? He took 5 stones. J-E-S-U-S. All it took was the first stone. He put that stone in that sling, that J. That's all it takes. That's a picture of us that all it takes is one letter, that sweet name of Jesus. And I don't care what we're going through. I don't care what death we're feeling. You know, we're feeling death in our prayer. We don't feel like praying. You know, we go in and we do our thing and we say, oh, I guess the Lord's not going to be here today. I gave it a shot. You know, and then we walk away. We think, oh, man, God wasn't there. That's a lie. God was there all along. He wants you to be a big boy and a big girl. He wants you to do and step up and start doing what we know to do. And that's lift up his name. That's the first thing Israel ever did when they went to battle, was lift up the name. God said, I didn't take Israel because they were many. They're few in number. They're weak. Insignificant. You ever feel weak and insignificant? What makes you strong? The name of Jesus. Are you getting this? Okay. So anyway, I drew some things on here. This just shows some different scriptures that you can go to. Ephesians 4:13. And this talks about the new tabernacle, you know, how it relates to Hebrews. Hebrews goes back and it relates to the Old Testament tabernacle. And God was so interested in detail. If you read about the construction of the tabernacle, and God stressed over and over again, Moses, you build that tabernacle exactly like I showed you in the mount. Don't change nothing. He went so far as to anoint certain individuals with craftsmanship so that they can make the pins, the court, the curtains, the pillars, the cords that held the pillars. Every one of those elements in that tabernacle was relevant because it pictures an attribute of our Son of God. The pins, the curtains, the furnishings, it's beautiful. And so we can use this as a pattern of prayer. We enter his courts with thanksgiving. We enter with praise. That's the first thing we should do when we come to pray. You know, when we come to church. You know, we're here to meet God. This tabernacle was to meet God. He was way up there. He has certain services that we have to perform so that we can be in his presence. And that's what it's all about. We sing all those songs. In your presence. That's where I belong. Right? We do belong there, but we have to do some stuff to get there. We don't want to be dragging our flesh. You know, I'm preaching to myself. I hope you know. You know, I've had to live the, you know, I was wondering what to preach, and I had a couple moments there where I was like, yeah, I really need to pray. You know, I don't want to get out there and say something. You know, I want it to be relevant. So finally, I just made myself go in there and pray. And all of a sudden, God told me this. I was going to preach something else. He says, I want you to lift up my name first. I said, okay, Lord, I'll do that. So I started, you know, I was down here. I was like this. I was down here. Like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. And you know what? You ever try to control your mind? And your mind's thinking about a million other things to do, but not the Lord. Well, that's a sign right there that we need to get up and start doing something. So I said, you know what? I'm going to get up. So I got up. It's like the pastor said, stood up straight. And I started walking in my room. Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. And I started thinking about the name of the Lord. I started thinking about his nature, merciful, gracious, long-suffering. Slow to anger. I started thinking about the fruits of the Spirit. I started thinking about the Lord's love for me. And all of a sudden, I started feeling that fire start to burn within. You know what I'm saying? I started feeling something well up from within. And all of a sudden, I wasn't all slumped over with all my cares and everything. All of a sudden, I was like, whoo, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes I love my wife. She has to go to work. Like, what is it, honey, Tuesday through? That's my time to cut loose in the prayer closet. You know, like when she's there, I don't want to disturb her, you know, so I try to, oh, thank you, Jesus, you know, hallelujah. Or I turn my music up. It's good to have music. I turn my music up so she, you know, but really I'm inside her. But when she's gone, let me tell you, woo, hallelujah, Jesus, woo, praise you, Lord, hallelujah. I'm jumping up and down. I'm shaking. You know what I mean? We need to do those demonstrations of the Spirit. What does the Bible say? We need to shake the dust of rejection off our feet. That's talking about shaking. That's not talking about, oh, get off me, dust. If you had a spider crawling up, you'd, oh, come on now. Come on, get off. No, you'd be like shaking that thing. And I tell you what, the Holy Ghost lights on that. We start moving, I guarantee there's a spiritual earthquake that's going to take shape within us. All of a sudden, our mindset is going to do a complete 180. And I know, I've seen it work in my life. I'm not going to be pushed around no more. I'm not going to let the world, the flesh, and the devil push me around. I got too much of an armory behind me. I have too many weapons. And you know what? I want to make it. I want to be an overcomer. I don't want to just be some saved guy, you know, with fire insurance. I'm not going to go to hell. I got fire insurance. No, I want to live. I want to go, when the Lord sees me, say, well done, my faithful servant. You know, and how's he going to say, well done, my faithful servant? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And that word know means an intimate knowing. I'm not talking about I know of Jesus. I'm talking about I know Jesus. I've seen him work in my life. I've seen him change this corrupt heart that I've inherited. I've seen the results of what his precious blood has done for me. It has changed me. You know, probably people don't see too much of a change because you see me every day. But I tell you, and we can all testify, if you saw me the way I used to be, oh, boy, you ever go back and you think about things and you just cringe. I can't believe I did that, Lord. Oh, you know, I did it at 17 years old, but still, we carry guilt from mistakes that we've made. And, you know, that's a time right there to say, Lord, cleanse me from this guilt image. Yes, I received salvation and you washed me and you forgave me, but I'm carrying around this guilt, this little image that's tagging along like a tick. And it's sucking the life out of me. But we need to say, Lord, whenever that happens for a reason. Is God not the head over all things? He's the head over all things, it says. Not some things. So he's the head of opening your inward eyes and being able to see that guilt that we're carrying. So right there we step back. Oh, guilt. You're not going to drive me down. Oh, guilt. You're not going to bend me over. We're going to stand upright. We're going to lift up the name of Jesus. And we're going to say, Lord, you cleansed me from that a long time ago. And I ask that you cleanse me from this guilt image that I'm carrying around. And the Bible says he's what? Faithful and just. To forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from some unrighteousness. I try to sneak them in there to see if you're thinking about lunch. God is good. Yes, he is. And, you know, I love y'all. This church, I'm telling you, I was withering. I was like a tree, just dying on the vine. And me and my wife, she can testify. We bounced around some trying to find some life, you know, somebody who's going to preach it like it is. I don't need a pat on the back. I know I got stuff that needs to change. I'd rather know. I'd rather know what's wrong with me so that I can repent. I don't want to go before the Lord and think I was okay. Nobody, you know. I have conviction. And so when I met the pastor, he actually came to a church that we were going to. And me and him sat at the same table. I forget what we were doing. Something insignificant. But he was sitting there and I started talking to him. I said, and he's talking to me. I said, I really like that guy. He's got some fire in him. I mean, you know how some people talk, and like Paul said, it's a tinkling bell. You know, it's like shallow. But then other times, people talk, and it's like a deep, like a clock. Dong! Well, that's how I felt when I talked to him. So I said, hey, brother, where you go to church? And he told me here. And I done forgot about it, you know. And then one day, I rent a storage unit up the street, and I was driving past. I saw, wow, Restoration Church. That's that guy. That's that guy. I think I'll go in there and sneak in there and see him. And I came. Did we come first, honey, or was it just me? Just me first time. I'm always the guy who goes out. She gets sick of me. Because I go, I say, hey, maybe this is the one. And that, so she said, you know what, I'm going to wait. So I came back home. I said, honey, there's this church. Let me tell you. Let me tell you, you're going to like this church. Love the worship. I love how he wasn't the constraints of time. That would drive me crazy. We'd start a worship song. And, you know, people were out there starting to move a little bit, and the worship guy would stop it. You know, and then they would change. And, like, not giving the people the chance to come and to do business with the Lord. You know, we should allow God to dictate our worship. And sometimes he's trying to do a work in the congregation. And we're so full of our schedule, We don't allow for that to happen, the freedom of the Spirit. And so that would drive me nuts. Imagine me, I'm a Pentecostal guy. Boy, I tell you, I play the bass, I play the guitar. I'd hit that first note, and people would be shouting, man. I mean, somebody hit the black key, thong, and woo, everybody's out there whooping it up. Did that bother me? No, I loved it, because that's how I was feeling. And I'm saying we're all different. I'm not judging, but I'm just here to tell you, I feel like as Christians, me, myself included, we could do a little more. We could show God a little more enthusiasm. So anyway, I forget why I was saying that. Oh, so Catholic boy, okay? And I went in the Navy. How much time do I have? I'm sorry, I'm not really sticking to my script. I got ADD, so sometimes I get, you know, look, a squirrel. But anyway, I was born Catholic. I mean, born Catholic. I was born Catholic. I got baptized without knowing it, blah, blah, blah. Well, I told you I went to my sister's thing, but I was miserable as a teenager. Hung around with the wrong crowd. Didn't have any direction. I was a runaway, 13 years old, 14 years old. Lived on my own. No direction whatsoever. Lived with friends, partied all the time. By the time I turned 18, 19, I saw the writing on the wall. I got to do something with my life. I don't want to end up dead. I don't have any direction. Well, somehow God put in my mind to join the Navy. How'd he do that? I was a long-haired hippie. I used to have hippie that, or hair down to here. Nobody was ever going to touch my hair. I wish y'all could see. Now you see me with not much hair, but man, I had some really nice hair back in the day. I wish I could find a picture, but they didn't take a lot of selfies back then, you know. It's like, but I was looking good, you know. But somehow God said, it's time. God had arranged my life accordingly that I had reached this dead end. And he had a plan for me. And that plan was for me to join the military. And so sure enough, I joined the Navy. They cut all my hair off. They put me in a black raincoat. We all look the same. They're a lot nicer to you now in the Navy. Back when I was in the Navy, you were like lower than a one-celled organism. Well, to make a long story short, I started on the ship. And this friend of mine used to go out drinking all the time down by ODU. And so I used to go with him. And we go out there, you know, trying to meet girls, you know, and all that stuff. And all of a sudden, he changed. I say, hey, Tom, let's go out. It's Friday night, man. Let's go. Oh, no, I'm all right. What are you talking about? It's Friday night. Let's go out. Come on, man. Oh, no, I'm good. Like, what in the world's going on with him? And I would go out without him. But then I would come back at night. And back then we had birthing compartments. And he was laying on his bunk. And my bunk was over here. And I look in there and his light was on. I said, hey, Tom, what are you doing? Oh, nothing. And I looked in there. He's reading his Bible. And man, I tell you. He started sharing with me out of the Word of God and telling me some key scriptures. By grace are you saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. And, you know, as a Catholic guy, we always thought we had to do like a bunch of different things, you know. But this, he was starting to tell me, oh, wait a minute. Wait, Tom, so you're telling me I don't have to change first, then come to God? Oh, no, brother. He said, you just come to just the way you are. And he's going to do the work within you. I'm like, no way. He's like, yes way. And I was thrilled. And so he started having Bible studies, and he would flip the pages of those Bibles, and I stand and confess, it sounded like when he would flip the pages of the Bible. The black ink and the letters were like popping out, and all these nerve endings in my brain were connecting. And all of a sudden, I felt like this is my purpose. This is why I'm here. This is, no matter what I tried to do before I knew the Lord, it went south. It's because God has his hand on me. God has his hand on everyone here. God has called us to overcome. What does the word overcome mean? You have to take over something. Overcoming takes effort. Overcoming takes you to do something. You know, it's not like God's going to carry you to the head of the race and drop you. We have to overcome. So then he started taking me to church. And I walked in this church, let me tell you. Oh, that was one crazy church. And I sat in the back. I had to. And I walked right in during the middle of worship service. And these people were spinning, running, shouting, crying, all at the same time. And you think that's chaos. No, that's not chaos. That's God's will. That's God's working in each individual as he saw fit. I read this testimony one time. Somebody died and went to heaven. And they said one thing that they couldn't believe was the music. It was a bunch of different music from different directions. It wasn't one. It was a whole bunch of different sounds. But they said, you know what? It sounded beautiful. There was all these different things going on. But the only thing that was in unity was praise and worship to the Creator. And so we can't, you know, assume somebody's way of worship. That's what I'm saying. You worship the way you want to worship. But I'm saying we need to look within and say, what can I do more, Lord? When I'm starting to feel the death and despondency, am I going to just sit there, praise you, Jesus, hallelujah, thank you, Lord? You know that's not going to work. You know you're going to have to get up. You know you're going to have to do something. You know you're going to have to demonstrate that you really want him. And that's the way I want to be. I like that one scripture. In closing, am I? How much time do I have? 10 minutes. Oh, okay. It's Ephesians. It's Ephesians 5:14. Can you get that one? Ephesians 5:14. I didn't give it to you. Praise the sweet name of Jesus. Ephesians 5:14 says, therefore, he says, awake. That doesn't sound like the Lord saying, Johnny, time for school. Come on, precious. Put your little socks on. He's saying, awake. You who sleep. How many people would like to be woken up like that? I know my wife wouldn't. Oh, I'm going to try that one day and then run for my life. Awake, thou that sleepest, and God will give you light. And then I'm going to run. When I was in boot camp, you know, that was like a rude awakening. And I remember they let us go to sleep at 2:30 in the morning. And I couldn't wait to go to sleep. I still have nightmares about that night. That was awful. And so 4 o'clock in the morning, the company commander didn't come in. Larry, come on, buddy. We're going to have a little breakfast. Come on. No. He came in there with 2 metal trash can lids. Bang, 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 bang. Get up, you. And then he said, your mommies aren't here anymore. I'm your mommy now. But you know what? It got me up. That has a way of waking you up more than Johnny. Because when you go, Johnny, you're going to go, okay, mom. But when you say, awake, thou that sleep, that's different. The word awake, I looked up. It's 1453 in your concordance. And the Hebrew word, or Greek word, is egiro, which means to collect your faculties, to rouse from sitting or laying down, to rouse from disease or death, to rouse from obscurity and inactivity. So we can use that example right there. You know, if we're trying to press through in our prayer, we feel like God's a million miles away. What time is it? It's time to awake. God didn't say, I'm going to wake you up. It was a command. Awake. It's our job to wake up. No longer is he going to carry us. We're going to have to find that backbone and that spine to wake ourselves. But I'm here to tell you, when we wake and we start lifting up the name of Jesus, and then all of a sudden he leads us from joy to joy, and all of a sudden we're filled with his nature, with his love, and all of a sudden we're filled with the Spirit, oh, believe me, you're going to be glad you woke up. So the word wake has to do with standing erect. I'm sorry, arise. The next word is arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. That word arise is 450 in the Greek. It means anastemi is how you say it, which means to stand up erect, to lift up. And so just like the pastor said, if we feel bent over and we feel tired and we feel like the weight of the world is on our shoulders, what's our job? To arise. He's not going to rise us up anymore. He expects us to do things on our own at this point. I want to be a doer of the Word of God. I don't want to just be a hearer. I don't want to be a sponge, a receiver. I want to be a receiver, and I want to be a doer. And I think that God deserves a lot more of a shout than we really give him. And so it's up to us to find that shout. You know, I don't want some rock out-shouting me. You know, the Bible says, if we don't, the rocks are going to do it. I don't want to go before the Lord and say, hey, that rock shouted louder than you. That rock had more gratitude than you did. I don't want that to be me. I want to be filled with gratitude, praise towards the Lord. Gratitude makes you praise. Gratitude makes you boisterous. If you were drowning in the middle of the ocean, surrounded by sharks, you wouldn't say, oh, Jesus, whew, got to get me out of this. It don't look good. Ah, man, I wonder if he hears me. No. What will we do? Come on, be honest. We'd be shouting. We'd be shouting. We'd be lifting up the name of Jesus. That's the first name that would come to mind, is the name of the Lord. And why would we do that? Because that's where our help comes from. Because we know he will save us if we call upon his name. That's good. I hope y'all are getting something. Final page. Obscurity. This word, awake, means to arise from obscurity. And I was thinking of the scripture of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Where God talks about the earth. Said the earth was void and covered with darkness and without form. It was obscure, the earth. Have you ever felt that way? You ever feel like God's a million miles away? Like your life is chaos? Like you're without form? We all do. But God's not putting that on us to condemn us. He's putting that on us so through that obscurity we might lift up his name. Jesus. I challenge me, everybody here, as you go throughout the day. You know, if you're standing in line, I've been trying to practice this at the tunnel. We have great opportunities at the tunnel to lift up the name while we're sitting in traffic. We could sit there, man, when are they going to finish this thing? And we start blaming everybody under the sun. But no, we need to step back and say, Lord, you put me here for a reason. Help me to meditate and make this time profitable. Help me to sit back and pray for the person next to me in traffic, the person behind me. And then you use that situation right there for the good. You turn it 180. Rather than looking within and the misery that it's creating, you put it without. And you say, Lord, if I'm going to have to be here right now, I'm going to be lifting up your name and praying. You know, I like to write my little scriptures on like cards. You know, I take them into my prayer. You know, we used to do this, like index cards. Does anybody know what an index card is anymore? And look how thin they got. When I was, I didn't think they were index cards. I went to Office Max. I said, it looks like a stick'em, you know. But I like to write scriptures on cards. And, you know, I tell you what, from the time I was a young man, I was taught to memorize scripture. And even now, I couldn't tell you where the addresses are a lot, but I know the scripture. And so sometimes in my prayer closet, When I get up and I wake up and I rise, I'll have this in front of me. And I'll start quoting it as I'm walking. And I start meditating upon God's word. And all of a sudden, there's a transformation that takes place in my mind. So that's a valuable tool as well that we can do. And it also helps us to memorize scripture. I used to be up at night, full of anxiety, worried about everything. Oh, worry, worry, worry. Oh, that's the worst thing in the world is anxiety. That's a killer. What do they say? Anxiety is worrying that bear's going to get you, even though you don't even know one's around. Fear is when the bear is there. So you're justified with fear. But anxiety, you're creating emotions, negative emotions in your mind. Well, how do we counter those negative emotions? Lifting up the name of Jesus, lifting up the word of God. So I started practicing that stuff because I was desperate. I don't want to be full of this anxiety. Sometimes God's got to bring you down to the very bottom of the basement. And then finally say, oh, I'm desperate. And I started doing this. All the scriptures I had memorized, I would sit there and quote over and over again. You know, sometimes I'd say scripture a couple times and I'd find myself anxious. And I'd battle back. And then I'd battle back. But before I knew it, I was quoting these scriptures, lifting up the name of Jesus, sound asleep. Wake up the next day, 4 hours sleep, feel like $1 million. Because I learned and I choose how I'm going to spend my time. You see, we choose to spend our time in the word and in praise. Does that make sense? I hope. So God is good. He loves us. He's a loving God. It says that he loves us more than any natural human being could ever love us. Exponentially more. We cannot fathom his love for us. But we can fathom his love when we start to do what I'm talking about. This reveals a new side of Jesus Christ in our life, that we might become overcomers and fulfill the purpose that God has called us to in this life. So I hope you all got something. I really didn't get to my... It's his word. You know, I tell you something. If we all practice this and we come to church together as a family, there's going to be no holding us back. I like what the pastor said. He goes, you would make my job easier if you would maintain your personal relationship outside those doors. If you would live for God, come here on fire for God, when we gather together, it's going to be like a charcoal grill. We're all going to be coals, but we're all going to be on fire. We need each other. I tried to do my life without church. You know, you can't do it. No, I don't care who you are. We need each other. We depend on each other. You know, I try to keep that in my mind. The pastor said something that what we do out there influences our service. Basically, he said. So that created conviction in me. I don't want to let my brothers and sisters down. I don't want to let y'all down. You know what I mean? I want to do the right thing. And all of a sudden, I feel like I got y'all in the back of my car. You know what I mean? When I'm driving. And I'm getting aggravated. I turn around and I see y'all in the rearview mirror looking at me. But anyway, well, I love y'all. And thank you for being patient and putting up with me.